Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball news and discussion. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Podcast on the Brink is a joint production of the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. For complete coverage of IU basketball, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com. On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink, Alex Bozich and I are joined by Ryan Carrazza, who does the film session article series at insidethehall.com, and we break down Indiana's performance over its first three Big Ten games, focusing much more on the Minnesota and Penn State games than we do on the Wisconsin games. We also talk, obviously, about the loss of Deron Davis for the season, what that has meant already for Indiana in the two games that he's missed, and what it may mean moving forward, and how the team has played different without him, some specific things that Ryan has seen, and much more. We also talk about how sustainable this whole notion of Juwan Morgan playing 38 minutes a game is. So all of that and more coming up on this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There is nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I can vouch that it is by far the easiest way that I have found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I'm planning on doing that with my wife. We have a 17-month-old, but we're planning some date nights out. And one of the things we're going to do is look for some musicians that we want to see. And SeatGeek will be the first place that we go to look for concert tickets here in Dallas where we live. So hopefully we can find some, because we know if they're there and if there are good prices, then we will find them on SeatGeek. Because SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and help you find amazing deals. And best of all, Podcast on the Brink listeners get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code BRINK today, B-R-I-N-K, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And I am joined this week on Podcast on the Brink, as I always am, by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. And a special treat this week, we have Ryan Carrazza, also from Inside the Hall, who does the wonderful film session articles. He is with us as well. Gentlemen, welcome to Podcast on the Brink.
Good to be here.
So when we last spoke with the Podcast on the Brink audience, it was New Year's Day. Indiana had yet to get back into Big Ten play. Obviously, we also had the chance to talk with Zach McRoberts on that episode. In the three games since, Zach McRoberts hasn't scored a point, although he's definitely played, you know, quite well and contributed to a couple victories. And that's really the other big storyline, is Indiana, after, you know, stubbing their toe up in Madison yet again in Wisconsin and opening up Big Ten play, with the kind of effort, especially in the second half, that had a lot of Indiana fans pressing the panic button, they really rebounded well and won at Minnesota to get a nice road win in their back pocket, and then, you know, back that up with a nice win against a pretty good Penn State team. So the Hoosiers, you know, now sit 3-2 in conference play with a little bit of momentum, getting those couple of wins. And so obviously we're going to break down some of the specifics, and we're going to talk about Deron Davis's injury, which is perhaps the biggest single story from the past week. But Alex, I'd love to just begin with just kind of some overview thoughts, you know, on these three games. Again, you know, it started out poorly. Indiana rebounded well. Do you think, you know, sitting here at 3-2 with this two-game winning streak, is this about as good as could have been expected for this Hoosier team at this point?
Yeah, I think so, just because you don't ever expect to go to Wisconsin and win. I think it was obviously discouraging for a lot of people to see how they lost that game, because it looked very winnable and probably was, in retrospect, a game where Indiana should have fared better. But for them to go to Minnesota and get a win, regardless of Minnesota's circumstances, that's never been an easy place for Indiana or any Big Ten team to play. And then to be able to beat Penn State, who to me is, you know, at least top half in the Big Ten in terms of talent on their roster, to be able to grind out a win against them. I mean, you know, to be 3-2, especially with some of the things that we saw earlier in the season in terms of getting blown out at home against Indiana State and Fort Wayne, and then also having to overcome some adversity with the Deron Davis injury, you know, sitting at 3-2 here at, you know, a little bit past the quarter mark of the conference season, I think, you know, I think Indiana fans have to be more excited than they were just last week when, as you mentioned, a lot of people were hitting the panic button, and, you know, some people were probably wondering if it was time to check out in the season and find something else to do with their spare time. But, you know, I think Indiana has bounced back nicely here and has some momentum, and we'll see if it can continue this weekend when they host Northwestern.
Ryan, what has been your biggest takeaway from this three-game stretch for the Hoosiers?
You know, I think after the Wisconsin loss, it's got to be kind of the way that they won these past two games. I mean, the three-point shooting against Penn State was not very good, and really their shooting overall wasn't very good either. But they were able to do it in other ways, right? They shot great from the free throw line. They defended well enough, and they took care of the ball. And so, if what this team is finding about themselves is, you know, even I mean, Archie continues to harp on it, that they are better shooters than they've shown this season. But if they can't make shots, there are other ways to win a basketball game. And I think that they've proven it kind of in both of these last two games that they can do some other things, and they can step up in other ways to win ball games.
You know, and there's a certain irony to Indiana winning these two games after Deron Davis goes out. I mean, Deron Davis was, you know, such a big storyline in the offseason, his weight loss and kind of this new player that we were going to see. And certainly he's improved in a lot of ways in terms of his efficiency this year, but had been struggling a little bit. And then obviously he gets the injury. I want to talk about the impact of that injury on the team and some of the things that the team is doing differently. Before we do that, though, Alex, let's just address the actual injury. I don't think a lot of IU fans were probably surprised when they heard the news that Deron would be out for the season. You know, Dan Dockich mentioned that I think during the Minnesota game, and it had just, you know, taken a few days, I think, for final word to come out. But what are the final details of that injury for Deron, and what, if any, is kind of the early prognosis for when we might be able to expect him back on the court, or what kind of recovery time it'll be for him?
Well, the official word from Indiana, and it was a very brief and to the point statement, was that he had surgery to repair a torn Achilles in his right leg, and obviously will be out for the rest of the season. So no question as to whether or not we'll see him again this year. He's officially done. And you know, a couple people have asked me, you know, is there any chance for him to get a redshirt? No, he's already played too many games for that to happen. So when he comes back next season, he'll be a junior. And, you know, I would say they're going to be pretty conservative in terms of, you know, getting him back on the floor. I mean, you know, there's obviously almost 10 months before Indiana will play another game in which Deron Davis will be able to play. So there's no reason to rush him back. But, you know, I'm not a obviously a doctor or somebody who's too familiar with the timetable, but just from a little research, it sounds like it's something that maybe later in the summer that he should be back to 100% and ready to go. But, you know, I would say that they're going to be more cautious with a guy like that, just because his importance in the program moving forward. And like I said, there's no there's nothing substantial that's going to happen in the offseason where you have to have him on the court for any reason. So you want to take it slow and make sure he's 100% before you get him back out there.
So why do you think two of Indiana's better performances of the year, and certainly two of their biggest wins, have come, you know, without him? Do you think that's just something where, you know, guys have rallied? You know, you have a guy like Justin Smith step up and seize his opportunity against Minnesota, and then obviously other guys do it against Penn State with Juwan Morgan, you know, kind of being the steady hand through both of those games. Do you think it's that, you know, kind of guys rallying around each other in the immediate aftermath of an injury as we've seen? Or, you know, are there things now that Indiana is able to do without Duron that are maybe, you know, helping Indiana in ways that they weren't able to do before?
Well, the interesting thing to me is, I mean, even going back to that Notre Dame game, he was essentially a non-factor in that game, just in terms of his production. He did play 18 minutes, but he didn't really, I think he scored 2 points, didn't grab many rebounds. And recently, if you look at just his body of work since the Louisville game, he hadn't scored in double figures in a game since then. So maybe when it was announced that he was going to be out going into Minnesota, it was a little bit overstated in terms of the impact to the actual product on the court, because you know, the numbers say that, you know, he hadn't been all that effective over the last month or so. But I would say, you know, the difference in these last two games is that Indiana's been able to change the way they've played. They play a little bit offensively. They're running a lot more, you know, action away from the ball, a lot of screening, freeing guys, and they're able to get the ball to Juwan Morgan, who's their most efficient player, even more, make him, you know, even tougher to guard. The past two games, he's drawn some big guys out in the perimeter, made some 3-point shots. And as you mentioned, Justin Smith played really good in the Minnesota game, and other guys are stepping up. I mean, the Minnesota game, they didn't get anything from Devontae Green and Josh Newkirk, and they found a way to win. And then yesterday, both of those guys stepped up and played really well. So, you know, I think it's just a combination of guys maybe becoming more comfortable in the system as the season has rolled along here. And then also, you know, from a statistic standpoint, what they lost when Davis went out maybe wasn't as substantial as people initially thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it is important to point out, you know, for all of Duron's ups and downs this year, you know, this is a guy who's in the top 60 in the country in block percentage, is 60th in fouls drawn per 40 minutes, is in the top 200 in two-point field goal percentage, was one of the top 200 guys in terms of offensive rebounding percentage. So he was doing some good things. Obviously, a lot of that came, you know, more toward the beginning of the season, Alex, as you mentioned, because he struggled some there prior to the injury. You know, Ryan, you do the film session pieces, and the one that you did for Minnesota was really interesting because, you know, we knew that the offense and the defense were going to look different with Duron out there, or with Duron not out there. What were some of the specific things Indiana was doing in the Minnesota game specifically that are things that we probably wouldn't have seen if Duron Davis had been playing?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to a little bit what Alex was talking about there, about just, in some sense, a little bit more freedom of movement and a little bit more room for kind of everyone to operate. And I think you saw that with some more specific stuff that was drawn up for Robert Johnson and him, kind of some plays being specifically run for him and it getting him some space and some movement. And I think it really followed into the Penn State game as well. I kind of just looked at the first half here before we jumped on, and there's a lot of screening. There are some pretty easy looks that Indiana got and really confused Penn State's defense. There's a lot of kind of back screen action right around the free throw line that they were tossing in, and they got him some really easy looks. So even in a half where they didn't shoot well from distance, they were able to get some good looks on themselves right at the rim because everyone's moving, everyone's screening. And I think if you do that enough in a possession sometimes, it can really free somebody up when you do it for long enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk to you guys about, you know, what elements of these last two victories do we think are kind of sustainable? And, you know, I know, you know, this is kind of a team that we've wanted to keep at arm's length a little bit and not quite trust just because they've been so up and down. And so I'm going to be curious to get your guys' thoughts on, you know, if you're starting to trust them at all. But before we do that, I do want to remind everybody to go to HoosierProud.com when you have a second. And there's a lot of reasons why you should check out HoosierProud.com. One of the most important ones is, you know, they're an apparel company and their designs are fantastic. And so whether you want to pick up one of the Inside the Hall t-shirts, whether you want to get officially licensed Indiana apparel, which they have this year, and they have, you know, some really cool tees with the script Indiana on them. I got one of the long sleeve tees this winter and I really, really like it. They've got football themed tees and soccer themed tees, plus the AJ Moye t-shirts that we told you about before. So a really wide selection. And then they've just got some great designs inspired by the Hoosier State. I love the home t-shirt that has the Indiana State logo on it. So a lot to choose from at HoosierProud.com. Go check it out. Browse all the designs that they have there. And then one great thing about purchasing from Hoosier Proud is that you're supporting Indiana-based charities when you do it, because they donate a portion of the revenue from their t-shirt sales to Indiana-based charities. And they're also really generous to our audience here at Podcast on the Brink. And so when you use the promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K, they will actually give you 15% off of your entire order. So go to HoosierProud.com, find the t-shirts that you like, put them all in your shopping cart, and then use that promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K, and you'll get a discount, you'll get some great t-shirts, and you'll be supporting Indiana-based charities as well. Again, the URL, HoosierProud.com. So, Alex, as we look big picture and as we start to try to project forward, which is always... That's been a very difficult thing to do with this program the last couple of years, just because of the inconsistencies. And as soon as you build a little bit of momentum, it can go backwards. And as soon as things seem like they're very bleak, you know, something good can seem to happen. But how are you kind of feeling now heading into this game Sunday against Northwestern? You know, do you think that this team is kind of starting to get it and starting to understand how they're going to have to play to win? Or are you very much still in wait and see mode to see if this team can prove that they've, you know, learned the lessons they needed to learn from a loss like Wisconsin, and that the Penn State and Minnesota game weren't just, you know, kind of an 80-minute aberration?
Yeah, I would say a little bit of both. I do think that Tuesday's performance was a step forward, because, you know, the Duke game, they obviously lost, but they played really well in that game. You know, it wasn't, something that Archie Miller wanted to talk about, but I think a lot of people felt good that they were in that game going into the final 4 minutes, and they followed that up with an absolute clunker at Michigan. And then the same thing happened after they beat Notre Dame, and, you know, they come home feeling good about themselves, beat a ranked team, and all of a sudden Fort Wayne beats them by 20. Whereas this situation, you know, they go beat Minnesota at the Barn, not easy thing to do, and they come back a couple days later and they beat Penn State at home. And so I think that's a sign of progress. There's just a lot of a lot of things that have to go well, I think, for this team to win, consistently. But the things that I'm looking at right now statistically, you mentioned maybe earlier things that they can try to do on a game-to-game basis to at least have themselves in games or have themselves competitive. And one thing they're doing really well right now, at least in conference play, is taking care of the ball. I mean, they're fifth in Big Ten in turnover percentage at 16.2, and that's a number that we've not seen in quite some time when we look at the KenPom numbers with Indiana basketball. The other thing that they've really responded to in terms of a challenge from Archie Miller is, after that Wisconsin game, he was, I think, disgusted in a lot of ways with how they were on the defensive glass. And these past two games, they've really shut down Minnesota and Penn State's offensive rebounding, second chance points. And right now, Indiana is the third best defensive rebounding team in the Big Ten. And they've played two of those games without Deron Davis. So to me, that says that this is a team that's, you know, if they can take care of the ball and limit second chance points to the opponents, even if they're not shooting the ball well, they should be able to keep themselves at most games. And the other thing they're doing pretty well is they're forcing a lot of turnovers. They're third in the Big Ten right now in terms of turning their opponents over, 20.9% opponent turnover rate, which is another really good number. So just a lot of good things right now in terms of the turning, you know, taking care of the ball, turning the opponent over, and rebounding pretty well on both ends. And I think those are things that you can control on a game-to-game basis. You know, the shots may not be falling every night, but if you can do those other two things relatively well and maybe do a better job of getting to the foul line, you're going to have a pretty good chance against, you know, what's a pretty soft Big Ten outside of the top, you know, two or three teams at the top. I mean, Indiana should be able to be competitive and beat a lot of the teams on the schedule the rest of the way if they play well and do those things well.
Man, and I think those numbers are really encouraging, you know, because those are the numbers of an Archie Miller team. And I know people have kind of been frustrated with the up and down nature and, you know, Indiana's only 10-7 and a lot of people, me included, thought that they would, you know, have a better record at this point and all of that. But you start to hear those numbers and talk about these, you know, like the turnover percentage that was so bad last year, was so bad early in the year, and the fact that they've improved so much already this year, like that's really encouraging in terms of the progress. And I'm not sure there's anything this Indiana team can do, you know, from a full season standpoint. You know, probably not going to make the NCAA tournament, so there's not going to be some impressive end of season accomplishment really that you can point to. So this is really a season of progress and building a foundation for the future. And again, you start to look at those numbers and see the growth, and it really kind of feels like that's starting to happen, and the results are starting to kind of, you know, back it up too, which is nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And the other thing, you know, I would say that you have to be encouraged by, and I think I mentioned this maybe a little bit in Five Takeaways, and we chatted about this a little bit before we hit the record button. But, you know, to me, in a lot of ways, Tuesday's win is the kind of win that Indiana wouldn't have gotten in the past under Tom Crean. And that's no knock on the style of play that he had or the way that Indiana won. You know, there was a lot of fun performances to watch when they shot the ball well, you know, made 19 threes, I think, once. And there was a lot of games where they were just clicking offensively. But, you know, the complaint was always if they get into a grinded out half-court game, they couldn't beat, you know, teams consistently. And I think what we saw Tuesday night was Indiana couldn't make a three-point shot, and yet they still pretty much controlled the game the final 25 minutes. And that's not something that Indiana fans are used to seeing. And I think that's something that's going to be a staple of Archie Miller's program in Bloomington. And I think the excitement comes when you look at what he's doing right now with this roster, which may not be as talented as what he's going to be able to bring in future seasons. And then you kind of think of the possibilities of mixing a lot of those things like, you know, taking care of the ball and you know, kind of being a gritty team with some even better talent. And I think that's when people are encouraged about the future potentially of what's to come.
So you mentioned the three-point shooting, and let's talk about that a little bit. I got into an interesting back and forth with one of our audience members over at the Assembly Call about this, because I wrote in our post-game recap that Indiana took way too many three-pointers in that Penn State game. I mean, they shot, you know, 22%, and I think 44% of their shots were from three-point range. And for a team that's so good at scoring down low and has such a high two-point field goal percentage, they shouldn't be taking that many shots from three, especially when they're not shooting well. But Archie has maintained, and I agree with him, that this is a better three-point shooting team that we're seeing. You know, right now, Indiana is 320th in the country, shooting 30.5% from three-point range. And in this email exchange, you know, the guy said, you know, we're 17 games into this season. It's kind of time to stop saying, you know, this is a better three-point shooting team than we're seeing. This team kind of is what it is at this point. And, you know, I push back a little bit, you know, granting that I don't think Indiana should be shooting as many threes. But when you look for areas where this team can still improve greatly as we go, you know, go down the stretch here in this season, the four guys who have taken the most three-pointers for Indiana, Robert Johnson, Devontae Green, Colin Hartman, and Josh Newkirk, are all shooting significantly less than their career averages. So it's, you know, these guys aren't freshmen that we're hoping are good shooters, or we heard that they were good shooters and we haven't seen it. Like with all of these guys, we've actually seen them shoot threes at a better clip than what we're seeing. And so, you know, I'm curious, Ryan, as you're, you know, watching the Hoosiers and going back and looking at it on the film, like, do you have any explanation for why these guys aren't shooting well? Are the looks not as clean? Are, you know, I know with Robert Johnson, at times it's looked like he's almost changing his shot form shot to shot. Like, is there any explanation that you have? And do you have any level of confidence that these guys will be able to rebound and start to regress a little bit more toward their established means over the final couple months of the season?
Well, there's a couple things at play here. I mean, it is in some sense, I think, how they're getting them. I think a lot of these guys were very used to Crean's system, which was, let's get it on the break, right? If somebody's bringing the ball down the court, let's get it up quick. Let's get on a wing. Let's get somebody in the corner maybe. And they were a lot of these kind of in the first couple of seconds of the shot clock in rhythm, bringing the ball down the court, hitting somebody and shooting. And that's not quite the same looks that they're getting in this offense. So I think that there can be sort of an unfamiliarity and maybe quite how they're getting them this year. That said, you know, you would hope that this far into the season that it would sort of, you know, go to where it has been in previous seasons for a couple of their top shooters. And, you know, going back sort of what you and Alex were talking about just before this in terms of, okay, well, yeah, they're not shooting the three ball that well, but look at all these other things they're doing. And I agree that it's encouraging. But man, if they could just hit a couple more a game, that could be so many more points per game, right? You know, if they hit another couple threes instead of shooting, you know, in the 20%, I mean, right now for the season, they're, you know, 30.5%. If they can shoot in the mid 30s and be more of an average 3-point shooting team the rest of the way, that I think could be, you know, if you couple that with all the other things we're seeing from this team over the last couple of games, I think that could be almost kind of the biggest thing that can propel them forward. Because the reality is, even though there are a lot of winnable games left, you know, just kind of looking through the win percentage, you know, with Ken Pom, it's other than the Northwestern game and the Illinois game later in the season, February 14th, there's no game that they appear to be favored in. But there's a couple, you know, Minnesota and Rutgers are just about almost at 50%. So it's kind of these, if they can just make a couple more per game and maybe somebody can find more of a rhythm within what they're doing now in this offense, and maybe it's Juwan Morgan leading the way here because he's starting to fire a bit. Maybe that can feed the rest of the team, but
he's doing everything else. Man, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And that's the thing, like, that seems reasonable. Like, that doesn't seem like a crazy ask because, again, the guys who are taking the majority of the shots have all shown that they can shoot better, you know? So hopefully it is something where, you know, as these guys get more comfortable in the system, get more comfortable with the looks that they're going to get, you know, maybe they're not having to think as much about what they need to do on defense and just playing comes more naturally, maybe the shooting will start to come. And I think that's a really big area of potential improvement for this team. That, again, doesn't seem like something unreasonable to expect based on what we've already seen from these particular players. You know, Ryan, you mentioned Juwan Morgan. And Alex, I want to talk about him some because he's just been incredible. And, you know, one of the biggest changes over these last two games is basically that Juwan Morgan doesn't come off the court anymore. I mean, he played 38 minutes against Minnesota. He played 39 minutes against Penn State. And, you know, look, he's been the do-it-all guy for this team all season long. Do you think it is sustainable leaning so much on Juwan Morgan? I mean, granted, he's been remarkably consistent, but, you know, and I hate to say this, let me knock on some wood, but, you know, he's been a guy who has gotten dinged up, has had some injury issues in his past. Can Indiana rely on him playing so many minutes as we continue to go here in Big Ten play?
Yeah, it was interesting last night. You know, Eric Soar, who calls the games with Don Fisher, sits a couple seats down from me, and it was, I think, the under eight timeout, and, you know, I kind of made a hand motion to him, and he took his headset off for a second. I said, "Has Juwan Morgan come out this half?" And he just shook his head like, you know, no. Like, and then I started to look at the play by play and saw that he had gone out briefly in the first half, and you know, I was just tired watching him last night in the second half because he looked, you know, just you know, gassed those final 5 or 6 minutes. And it was incredible that he played 39 minutes against a team as physical and as attacking to the rim as Penn State was last night. You know, Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, and Mike Watkins were all going pretty hard at the rim. Juwan Morgan played 39 minutes and didn't commit a foul.
Yeah.
To me, that's just an incredible statistic, especially for a guy. You know, one of the things you always hear coaches say is, you know, when guys get tired, they have a tendency to foul. And Juwan Morgan was definitely tired in that game, and he still didn't foul. So in terms of whether it's sustainable, I mean, you know, in the instances where there's, you know, a 2 or 3 day layoff between games, it's probably got a better chance of being sustainable. But Indiana's got some stretches coming up here where there's going to be one day between games, and playing him 38, 39 minutes. I mean, there's no better option than doing it. So I guess we're going to see how he holds up. But I mean, he's just, you know, he's been a double-double machine. I was thinking today, I mean, if the season were to end today, I mean, I think he's got to be in the mix for all Big Ten first team, if not first team, definitely second team. And that's just kind of speaks to the level of play that he's shown through 5 games. I mean, he's clearly been one of the best players in the conference, and Indiana's going to need him to continue to play like he has if they want to continue to win games.
Yeah, it's fascinating that he didn't commit a foul, and he was playing so much defense down low. I mean, and playing tough defense and playing good defense. It wasn't like he was just giving up a whole bunch of buckets. You know, Ryan, how we talked about how Indiana will compensate for not having Deron Davis on the offensive end. What are they doing on defense, and what do you think that they'll need to do on defense, especially as the Hoosiers start playing teams with better post presences? And obviously, you know, Penn State had Watkins, but, you know, we're a game away from Indiana going up to East Lansing and facing Michigan State that has, you know, Nick Ward and a whole bunch of guys down low. And obviously, you know, Purdue brings in, you know, Isaac Haas and the big guys that they have. How is Indiana going to deal with that without Deron Davis?
Yeah, that's, you know, we talked earlier about, oh, well, with him out, they're able to do some different things offensively, which it seems has been working. And, you know, maybe his production on offense hasn't really been hadn't been that great over the last several contests. But there are things that he brings to the table, especially, you know, rim protection, right? He's a great shot blocker. He came into Indiana as a great shot blocker. And this team still, you know, without him has been pretty good at the rim. But this is when, you know, coming into some of these games coming up here where we're probably going to be noticing that we're missing him on the court, right? Instead of kind of the other way around, there's been some instances where he said, okay, without him, you know, they've been able to hang tough. But again, some of these other front courts, I think his body, and just, you know, he's gotten some foul trouble as well, but just to have another big body down low, even if he's just absorbing some fouls, it can be an important thing against some better front lines.
So as we wrap up here, Alex, as we look ahead to this game on Sunday against Northwestern, you know, they are obviously a team that has disappointed this year. They made the NCAA tournament last year. I think everybody expected that they would be a top 25 caliber team this year, and it hasn't really happened. And so this is now a game that I think you look at, especially considering what Indiana has done their last 2 games, and it's fair to expect Indiana to take care of business and to win this game. That doesn't mean it'll be easy, obviously. You know, nothing's going to be easy for Indiana for the rest of the season. What are you expecting, such as you can actually expect something with this group, but what are you expecting Sunday when Indiana faces Northwestern?
Yeah, I think it's going to be another game where Indiana's going to have to win ugly and grind out a win. I mean, Northwestern's got some experienced players. They're, I don't think, going to just roll over. I mean, as we record this, they're about midway through the first half with in a game with Minnesota that's being played, I believe, at Allstate Arena, which is their home this season. But, you know, so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that finishes up and whether or not they have some positive momentum as they come into Bloomington. But I think overall it's just going to be another game where Indiana is going to have to do the things I talked about earlier, to take care of the ball and rebound well. And they're going to have a pretty good chance to win. It should be a good crowd in that it's a Sunday afternoon game, CBS, national audience. And so, you know, I'm just interested just to see kind of if this team can string together a third straight solid performance. I've kind of, you know, it's funny, I write what to expect every game. And, you know, I feel like the last couple of years I had a pretty good feeling on kind of what to actually expect on a game to game basis. And this year I've kind of found that I have no idea what's coming. So I've just kind of learned, I guess, to maybe sit back and enjoy, you know, things on a game to game basis. And I'm really interested in really just to dig into Northwestern here these next couple of days and just try to figure out why they're, why they've fallen off so much. You mentioned them being a team that most people thought were going to go back to the tournament this year. And as of right now, I'd say the chances of that happening are pretty slim unless they have a turnaround starting immediately.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for joining me on this episode. Ryan, it's always awesome to have you on with us. And we definitely encourage everybody to go check out Film Session, which, again, the Minnesota one is up and well worth checking out if you haven't yet. And I assume the Penn State one will probably be up. We're recording this on, what is this, Tuesday night?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Man, my nights are all screwed up. So I'm assuming it'll be up sometime Thursday, probably.
Oh, yeah, we'll have it up in the morning.
Okay, perfect. So definitely check that out. Look for that on InsideTheHall.com after every IU game. And we'll look forward to having you on another episode soon, Ryan.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you all next week. We'll probably do it early in the week, do a little preview of Michigan State. You know, that's the other thing about the upcoming schedule. You know, Indiana's got a nice gap here between this game and Northwestern, and then another gap where that Michigan State game doesn't come until Friday. And then after that, Indiana has three straight back-to-backs where it's three games in 2 days. Maryland, Illinois, then Purdue, Ohio State, then the Michigan State, Rutgers. So the schedule starts to come fast and furious. So hopefully the team gets a lot of good practice time in over this next week and a half or so, rests up some and gets ready for that tough stretch, because it'll go a long way toward determining where this team ends up finishing in Big Ten play. All right, have a great few days, and we'll talk to you next week on the next episode of Podcast on the Brink. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. To get more from me and from Alex, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana University basketball. If you liked this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member who loves IU basketball as much as you do. You can also support the show by leaving a rating and review on iTunes, which helps us get the word out to more IU fans like yourself. We will be back next week with a new episode. Until then, as always, go Hoosiers.